pray. Our blessed God and loving Father, we have just sung, "We wait for thee, O Son of God, and long for thine appearing." We await that blessed moment, Lord, when thou shalt have thy rightful place in this scene where thou wast rejected, and thou hast set it before our hearts as an ever-present hope. May we conduct our lives in view of that eternal day when this life's short span will be over. We look to thee, too, for help on this afternoon in the ministry of thy word, by whomsoever thou mayest use to bring the scriptures before us. Thou knowest we are a needy people, and we stand in need of a heavenly light for our earthly pathway. Thy Spirit may undertake, give that which is needed for each one here, as thou dost know the need to be. We pray for our brethren elsewhere, thy blessing and care upon them. We know that many are laboring for thee very faithfully at this time, and we uphold them before the throne of grace. Thank thee for allowing a few of us to come together in this manner, and we wait upon thee now, giving thanks in thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We've been considering somewhat this morning the Lord's coming for us and also his appearing. So I was thinking of an event that happens in between. I was thinking of Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Just a few thoughts on these two chapters. The setting is very similar for these two chapters. The scene is in heaven, where all the redeemed are. And there's a throne there in both chapters. And in the in chapter 4, we see the Lord there in the center. And those that are adoring him. And his holiness is shown out. But if we go down to verse 11, we'll see the subject of the praise and worship here. Yeah, this is in verse 4, chapter 11. The saints in heaven, they say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Well, this is a marvelous thing, isn't it? The Creator God, the Lord Jesus himself, is getting glory in heaven from all the redeemed for all the beauties and marvels and wisdom of creation, much of which we get to enjoy. In contrast, we see the next chapter, and we have this same scene, the throne, the redeemed all around, you and I. But we have in the center the Lamb, as it had been slain, that same person, the Creator God. But if we look at his hands and his feet, we see the print of the nails in both his hands and his feet, and the spear mark in his side. And it brings us back to Calvary's cross and all that he suffered there for us. And so we sing the new song. Here we are in heaven and we sing that new song. And let me see where it is. Yes, verse 9. And this is the 24 elders, I judge, the redeemed. It says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Well, that'll be a marvelous scene when our hearts go out to the Savior face to face. But I wanted to talk about that new song. And I want to tell you about some laziness on my part. that lasted a good many years. I was always puzzled about this new song, because these exact words that we have here in this new song, we sing them over and over and over again in the gospel hymns and in the Sunday school hymns. And I'd say to myself, how could this be a new song? Well, I'm embarrassed to say I probably asked myself that question for 30 years. All I had to do was pick up a book on ministry and Revelation, and there was the answer. You read the chapter, and there it is. I forget what the book was, but it simply said, this is in contrast to the old song, which was sung back in Job 38 and verse 6 and 7, when there was a song there when creation was created. And so this is a new song. It's new to heaven, but of course it's not new to us. But it is new. It's going to be new in some very special ways. Number one, it's never been sung in heaven before. And also, we're going to be there. Our redeemed souls are going to be there. Our bodies, our old bodies and our old natures will be left behind. We'll have that new body of glory like him. And so we're going to enjoy and understand that new song that much more, his redemption and his suffering for us on Calvary's cross. And and it'll be sung, don't you think, with the language of heaven. Now, I don't know of any verse that tells us that there's going to be a special new language sung in heaven, but we know that the Lord says, the Scripture says, behold, I will make all things new. And as we think of it, we're pretty certain that none of the languages that have been used in earth, which have been contaminated with all the vile words of man, would ever be used in heaven. And I'm sure there's going to be a special language in heaven that we'll automatically know as we get to heaven and we see the Lord Jesus there. We'll be able to sing that in a pure language that's never been violated. And that's a marvelous thing to think, too. And our old nature will be gone. We can hardly sing a song all the way through without getting distracted. Mr. Roach years ago used to quote a poem about a little boy that sat in his high chair having lunch or having dinner. The verse went something like this. There he sits, his face all round as the moon, banging on his table with the spoon. He drops it quickly to the floor, reaching for things not seen before. And so we get distracted. Even as we're singing a hymn, we get distracted. Maybe we're tired. Maybe we're so full of cares that we can't concentrate on it. I remember years ago, Mr. C.H. Brown, who I suppose a lot here never met, but he was a very godly and spiritual man, that, he'd get up, and give a lecture, an address, and it was just marvelous, his choice of words, his knowledge of the Scriptures, and his knowledge of the Lord himself. Well, he got up I remember seeing him get up after the breaking of bread one day, and Mr. Brown read a verse or two about the garden, the Lord's experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the Lord came up back to his disciples, he found them sleeping, and he said, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Mr. Brown read that, and then he said, brethren, I've never watched the full hour, and he closed the Bible and sat down. And that's how it is in this life, you and I are. It's failure for sure, but that's how it is. But you know, that's not going to happen in heaven at all. We're there with our new natures. That's all we got. We have no career to worry about, no school to study for. We're just there to enjoy the Lord and His presence and to praise Him and to sing this marvelous redemption song. And I'm sure we'll sing it all the way through, and the chorus too. And our attention will never vary, and our hearts will just be swollen and as big as anything as we're there with our Savior face to face. What a marvelous thing that is. And it'll likely be, and maybe somebody will correct me here, but it'll likely be after the judgment seat of Christ takes place, when our lives have been reviewed, when all of the things that we did that were wood, hay, and stubble have been burned up, and we've been delighted to see it burned up. But there'll be something left, some gold and precious stones left that the Lord will have said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so after we've gone through that, all our pride just ripped to pieces and left behind. And that's, we're going to sing that really, really loud and clear too. And you know, it's going to have a lilt to it. It's going to be a happy song. And it's just going to lift us up so marvelously. Think about some of the family of God that get to heaven, and they've never been clear about redemption and the cross of Calvary. Let's say maybe some devoted Catholic person that has enjoyed the person of Christ, the fact He's the Son of God from all eternity, but because of the doctrine they hold, they've never been known the security of what Christ has done on the cross. When they get to heaven, and it's revealed for the first time why they're really in heaven, their hearts and voices will just swell, won't it, as they recognize that everything they owe to what Christ has done on Calvary's cross, and so will ours. Well, just a thought or two, brethren, on that day that is so near at hand, when we're going to be caught up to be with our Lord forever and ever.